It's where the ocean meets the river. Mar, ocean, Rio, river. But there's no sand on my beach.
Okay.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Okay, thank you.
So once again, we meet to challenge our commitment to what is. I mean, if we had the perfect idea of what is and we were perfectly right, everything would go smoothly your way. If it was all lined up and it was all understood by you, well, then there would be no mystery and you would just be this fount of creativity, continuing to expand your power with all the power of everything automatically because of what you are.
Because of your knowing.
Because of what you are. Yeah, and you would know, exactly. Because if you're knowing of what you are. It's like you all know, most of you know, we're in Santa Cruz, so not all of you know how to drive a car. Turns out, I once found out, some people don't drive. But once you know how to drive a car, you can just drive. You're not analyzing, you don't prepare much, you just get in and go, you know about the stick and that pedal and the wood. You know, right? So you can manifest car driving quite automatically because you are a car driver. Turns out your true identity is an extension of what we call God. No, that makes you a creator. Now, in this form, I find it a challenge, you know, even to sometimes make breakfast right. You know, the egg sticks, and then I flip it, and then the yolk. Ah, yeah. So, as a reminder of this form and the limit of this form, body, time, space. Here we are. So we're challenging once again what you think you are. What will you allow into your mind as the next open definition of what you are? Because if you can barely make the egg in the morning, you certainly are beating your heart. We're just going to trust that the heart keeps beating. And when you're sleeping, that you breathe at the right time too, because right, you're checked out. What, something else going on here. And up that ladder we go. From the most basic things that you have no clue on how work to the most fantastic things that are invisible, like love. Were you to be awoken to what you are, the mystery of that goes away and your participation fills in. That's why we're here. There's not a lot of us here. Not a lot of us can tolerate this kind of freedom. You see, it's much easier to stay in the limit, it turns out, for what you think you are. Well, because then, if you're staying in the limit, you got to have a certain amount of money, you got to have a great place to stay, you got to have safety of all types, you got to have love that's got a certain checkbox that you filled out, a list that you've made, and that turns out to be easy. According to the book, it's the hardest thing you could do to achieve love. According to the world, it's the only thing you can do to achieve love is to go through and try to manipulate the world for your happiness. According to the book, it's the exact opposite. The world is a block to the awareness of love's presence in you, for you, as you. So just make no mistake, we're talking about the exact opposite of what the world trains. I think all of you know that. And that's why we call this a spiritual meeting instead of a think and grow rich meeting. I don't know how to sell real estate in Santa Cruz and ride that real estate wave. You know, that's... I think all of you know that. So the Course in Miracles is this wonderful guide to take us, and we do it here topic by topic, to peel back and understand this addiction to separation that keeps blocking the awareness of you as a creator. To wake up from that dream of limit that is so present here. There's not many of us here. Even interested in saying these words. Even interested in choosing a spiritual identity and saying that is me. More importantly than my physical identity. So true. But everybody in this room, maybe even Summer Rose, we have no clue about you yet. She got A Course in Miracles book stolen out of her car. So I'm saying Summer Rose too. She has that crazy book in her car. You're looking for a guide? And so tonight, we're going to be specifically looking, as we have for the last few weeks, and will for a few more weeks, we're looking at one of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence that is specifically the body. It is an obstacle to peace. The addiction to the body, the easy acceptance, the automatic acceptance that your body is A, real, you don't need to do it, can do nothing about it, and B, it prescribes and describes your identity. It's very specific blocks to your ability to know your spiritual identity and to experience the freedom of your spiritual identity. Now, so we're busy doing that in these paragraphs and the whole book, of course. All right, so what are we working on tonight? What's the tool tonight to help free our minds? Well,
sorry.
It's time for us to look again at this word faith. Faith. We're going to look at the word faith. Let's just spend a few moments and let's just open our minds. And what we do in these meditations, this is a gift to you, and then maybe you'll give it to us too. But for darn sure it's a gift to you, because we're going to find out tonight, and it's different from yesterday or from next week, where is your mind now on faith? On this, where is it now? So let's take a moment, give yourself this gift. Let's take a look at faith. What would it take for you to abandon something you have faith in?
Trust.
It would take some trust. Yeah. It would take trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trust in some other way?
Some other way, some bigger way.
Some bigger way?
I don't know.
Something maybe better, but it would take trust, because the trust is already there with what you're doing currently. Mm-hmm. It would need to be some trust, another stone to step on, if you will, that can take your way. Some trust. Mm-hmm. Not a little trust. Mm-hmm. If what you're already doing is getting your full faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trust. Anthony, what would it take for you to switch paths?
She had my word.
Aha.
But
no mistake
also,
there.
But you also specifically said trust in the body.
Aha. Uh-huh. What would it take for you?
First word that came, if you didn't have trust in your body, the only way to do that is death.
Oh. And if you trust your body, and now you want to stop trusting your body, you think the way is death?
Because I have complete faith in my body, so the only way that you can convince me not to have faith in my body would for me.
Like what Jesus was saying, well, let me show you that the life is beyond the body. I'm going to go crawl up on this cross here. I'll be back. Let me just go do this for...
Yeah, that's the ultimate trust. That's
the
ultimate
faith.
And that's where I'm going.
Yeah,
now, whether that is true or not, I don't know, but that's where I'm headed, yes.
Yeah. So to disprove, to shatter this model of life equals body, existence equals body, you'd have to kill the body and then survive it. Sure. Yes. I think that's perfectly good.
Yeah.
You would. So, in order for you to abandon your faith, you would break what you have faith in and see if there's anything left.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not a bad approach.
That's with anything else. I was agreeing with what Semiroth said.
Yes.
If you trust something more than this,
yes,
then you will change the faith to that.
Yes.
But when you're talking something that's as intimate as your body,
yes.
How do you break the faith in that?
And who's going to break the faith in the body unless they have trust in something else? How could you visit something powerful enough to replace your body if that's your identity? That's what we're talking about. Yeah. We'll see what we come up with here. Mark, what would it take for you? Okay. Stephen, what would it take for you to...
Evidence.
Evidence. So you're going to hang on to what you got, of course, because it's what you got, until you found evidence.
And even then, faith is still always a stretch. It's the nature of faith.
Yes.
But, like, if there were some evidence in a direction and it felt right,
yes,
then I could follow that with trusting that,
yes,
to the degree that faith would be in the space.
Yes. And give me a few more words, will you, on feeling right.
Oh, that's hard. I mean, there's just some things, it's like when we talk about it, you know, what's true is true, you know.
Uh-huh.
When something lands and it's just there completely,
yes,
you can feel it almost on a cellular level.
It's so internal!
Then it's like, well, yeah, that's it, you know.
Right? Yeah.
But like what you were saying, you know, I'm just so swimming in my addiction to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I have faith in things that have traditionally provided my body with pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Thinking that if I had enough faith or enough pleasure, now I'll be okay.
And it will be good enough.
Yes.
But there's something in you that knows it never can be good enough.
Well, and then in that realm, then it's always a little taste and a little taste.
Yes.
And,
yes,
and the default back to the body is so powerful.
Yes.
That I get a little taste of not body.
Yes.
And I blink, and it's body again.
Okay, but let's stay with the taste of not body. I think everybody in this room has had a taste in some way or another of not body.
Oh, I've experienced it.
You've experienced it.
I've had an out-of-body experience, yes.
There we go. Several people come through this room have out-of-body experiences. And
that's what I was saying. He said evidence, which I think is the first step. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a tentative step.
Yes.
It's a demonstration or an experience which takes you that next,
yes,
the next leap.
Now, that's, thank you for saying that. Because as I've met with most people I've talked to, well, maybe all of them, who've had out-of-body experiences, they have not mastered whatever that was. In fact, all that has shown them that they're not that. Because they keep looking back and back, and they're still grounded in their body. They can't get back out at will. They don't fly around the room. In fact, it's a distant memory for most of them. And it's kind of a tease in a way. Like taking a drug. You can take a drug and get some really great sense of spaciousness and peace and mellowness or whatever your drug was supposed to do. You can get that. And then the drug wears off. And now as that moves into the past, it just reminds you how you're not that. Turns out. However, it can open the door. It can change the frame of reference. It can change the horizon. You have an out-of-body experience. You say, well, this is not all there is. And you can never take that away. Yes?
I'm not sure what faith is.
Excellent. Good, good, good. So, the way I describe it,
mm-hmm,
is faith is something you do not know.
Mm-hmm.
but in which you are fully committed to follow, to try.
Mm-hmm.
And so I speak of it this way. Things come to you as a concept. It's just an idea of something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Who knows? Then you look at it and you decide, you know what? That could be true. In fact, it probably is true. That becomes a belief. Concept? Who knows? Belief? I know. I believe. I'm choosing. This is true. Just a belief, though. Next level is faith and trust, which are really the same. I do not know this is true because I don't have the experience, but I trust, I believe, my analysis, even my hope and my prayer say this is true. I'm going to do it. It's just like if you're following a GPS in the car and it says next exit, next turn, 400 feet. Part of you says, here we go. I don't know what it is, but I'm turning. That's a commitment to the faith of it, that the GPS is right. You don't know. They're wrong sometimes, but you are committing to it. So that's like a walking the talk. You're actually committing to it. That's faith. You don't know. And that's the step we're talking about here, because that's the change from staying on the freeway to getting off the freeway. Mm-hmm. And that is, and so now you will follow this change, gaining the next level beyond faith, which is experience. Experience is extremely personal. Just like you driving your car, taking that exit, didn't even read the sign, I just did what the thing told me to do, and here I go. Then you see, oh, there's my destination on the right. Turn off the GPS, I'm good. In fact, it's right by the, I don't know, the Krispy Kreme sign on the highway. You don't need the GPS anymore. You know something about this freeway, about how to get off it for your destination. You know something. So that you graduated beyond, you don't need faith, you don't need belief, you don't need concept. They're all used and done.
So it seems like the flip side of faith would be the unknown.
Yeah.
And
terror
of the unknown.
Yes. Yes. Terror of the unknown.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And that's what fear is. And so carefully now, watch our words. The opposite of faith is believing that it's not. Something is not. Knowing that it's not, knowing that you're not safe, is fear. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you're not safe, knowing you're going to be harmed, knowing, careful with this now, because the fear, according to Course in Miracles, is not of the unknown. That's the mysterious way the ego packages and makes things difficult to understand.
Fear, it's the knowing, thinking that you know that something bad is going to happen.
That's what fear is.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so strong. If you truly didn't know, you wouldn't know.
Right.
And you just wait to see, because you don't know, you don't know. But if you think you know you're going to be hurt, you're hurt already.
Right.
And that's lesson 135. It says, if I defend myself, I am attacked, even if nobody's coming. If I'm holding my shield and hiding behind it and shivering, I'm going to skip meals and everything else because I'm afraid to get behind the... I'm attacked. Everybody's gone home. The war's over. Not for me. Right? Because I know something that's not true. So that's it. And then it comes experience. And then from experience, we can go into a spiritual understanding of awareness and being. You know, and that's my whole staircase right there. And faith is in a critical.
It's easier
step.
To have faith when you have some hint that it's going to work out.
Thank you very much. And that is your answer. That is your answer. And that's the evidence. And that's the trust. You will not have faith unless you have some evidence it's going to work out. What you might have is lip service. You might have some false practice.
I'm kind of with that, because there's the two ways. There's either I'll believe it when I see it, or you'll see it if you believe it.
Yes.
So I kind of more subscribe to I'll believe it. I'll see it when I believe it.
That's right, yeah.
I don't think it's there, I'll never see it.
That's right, yeah. That's exactly right, yeah. There's a phrase in the Course, and ego says that seeing is believing. The Course says believing is seeing. Exactly as you say. Yeah, that's right. So you would have to somehow see it before you see it.
It's like that feeling. That's just like an intuitive hunch.
Like Stephen was describing. An openness of mind occurred. The truth dawned, and it moved you. If you knew it, you wouldn't have needed to even look at it. It would already be owned. But there is a bridge that is faith. The bridge is not where you're going. The bridge connects where you are to where you're going. Faith is only a bridge. You walk across it. You commit to it. Yeah. Very good.
Yes. Don't forget Walt.
Oh, yeah. Walt.
In the hole.
What would it take for you to have a change in faith?
A change in faith?
What would it take for you to be something you've trusted and you fully invested in, like your body, and to somehow move your mind and have faith in something else?
Well, what I had faith in would have to just totally collapse or fail me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like the honesty of that, which is similar to what Anthony said. He said, you know what? I'm busy with my body, and in order for me to abandon my body, it would have to fail me. Now, what would that look like on a spiritual path? It looks like some really serious meditation. Which, by the way, absolutely happens. You leave your body in your meditation. Anybody done that? Mm-hmm. You actually get so still, the body disappears in your mind, if not literally, and there's a sense of freedom that is incomparable. It happened to me. I see a lot of nodding heads. That's right. And A Course in Miracles is here to counsel us on how to do that and to experience a stillness. And there's a peace there that goes beyond the understanding of the world, because the world works with the clock. With one event causes another event, and then from that follows a third event, and you can tell your friends about it. That's the world. But what the stillness we're talking about is a journey beyond words. It's so simple. It's so simple that the only way you could describe it is an undoing. There's nothing you actually do. And the key is how do I do nothing, even first for an instant? You bet. It's that simple. The ego makes it sound difficult. And Jesus said, oh, I know you guys are so into no pain, no gain. I'm going to put a big fat book around this very simple experience. But eventually you'll drop into it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. Very good. And so in a super, you know, simple moment, right? Not some big exalted experience in next to the Golden Buddha in Thailand. You don't have to, no. Let's just say you get so still that there's nothing there but love. But the truth of your essence. Let's just say that. It's just 0 point. Nothing there but your true essence. That is how you have a journey without distance. That's a quote from the book. That is how you rejoin what's already here. You as spirit is stepping out of time. You're drunk on time, right? It's so accustomed to that, time and space. But you can and must step out of it. It just takes an instant, and everything changes. You can never go back. And I'll say one more encouraging thing. Everybody here and everybody in Santa Cruz, most people probably over the age of 8 or so, have already experienced this. They just didn't know. And by the time you get into your 30s, you've experienced it many times, and you maybe didn't even know what it was. That holy instant came and went so fast. We're learning here to see and actually even to experience holy instants on purpose. But it has happened many a time in your lives. There's a little moment of unconditional love happened in your life. A little moment of super alertness where your attention was fully onto something else, like a loved one or a stranger, or trying to avoid hitting a ball rolling across the road. Moments like that break us out of time, and you probably didn't even realize how present you were. Now we're just going to do it on purpose so that we can wake up to that essence and visit it more. What's in the way is addiction to the body, the faith in the body for what it can provide. And that's what we're studying tonight. Bridget, what would it take for you to walk away from such a dedicated pursuit as maintaining that body? because your identity.
I guess I don't have a lot of faith in the body.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's all, it's like kind of obsolete. It's kind of,
yes,
breaks down, and it's just kind of like a vehicle that you can get out of and move onto something that has no limitations.
Okay.
So yes, just kind of hanging out in it till then.
Yes.
Put some oil in it.
Yeah. Some coconut oil.
Wash it every now and then.
What do you think? What do you think for you to be able to identify with something other than your body? Is there any bridge you might describe you would cross? That would have to look like or feel like.
I guess it's just this knowingness. There's a knowingness in me that just is like, I know there's better. I know there's something bigger, better out there.
Yeah.
Here, it's just bigger and better, and it's, yeah, it's limitless. It's, I know it's beyond anything we can comprehend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I guess a knowingness,
yes,
or my, okay, faith or my trust that, and if not, then I'll see when I croak and
it won't matter.
I'll be wrong.
You won't even know that you're wrong because it'll be croaked and if it's your body, that's it. You won't even know. You'll have a smile on your face. Here I go.
Yeah. We'll see, finally. No one's coming back to me.
Okay, we got her there. Thank you. So you heard her say the knowingness. You heard her say with abandon as she ran out of words. She said, it's a knowingness. Check out that little awareness that's going on over there in that chair. You guys feel that we've all got it. You can't sit in this room with this book for an hour and a half listen to me unless you have got what she's talking about. There's a little itch inside you that says, wait a minute, there is another way, and I will not be blocked by dedication to this body. You've already got it. That's dawned on your mind somewhere, somehow. It's dawned on your mind.
Yeah, so coming to this course week after week and doing the lessons every day without any proof that, you know, you're going to ever get anything from it.
Yes.
You might get a little tiny glimmer every once in a while,
yes,
but it's faith that keeps you doing it.
Yes. It's faith and, dare I say, the commitment to continue to do it is because somewhere along the way, a light went on. There was a time when you had an easier breath pass through your lips, yeah, than you could ever remember.
Right.
And you're going like this at the time. You're like, what the fuck was that?
That clarity.
Yes.
Because the more I do in this, the more it kind of validates.
Yes.
It's like, ah,
ah, ah.
Uh-huh. So exactly. It's kind of leading. And I've done a lot of different spiritual, I guess that's my life, is, yes, pursuing that, whatever that is.
Yes.
But
yes,
this is getting closer and closer, and it's just kind, yes, of validating, yes, all the stuff I've gone through previously.
Yes.
That it's,
that's right. Yes.
Supporting.
Yeah, very good. Supporting. Well, I like to say it gave me permission.
Mm.
This book is an authority that has given me permission to pursue what I have been pursuing all along. Yeah, I know it. It's a knowing, you said. Mm-hmm. Indeed. That would allow you to get off of trusting the body is the only thing you are. Absolutely. Evidence that you can let it go. You got it. And nobody can take it away from you. Yes. Kenny, what would it take you for change your faith? Oh. Change a habit.
Well, I was thinking of an example. We got a track layer,
mm-hmm,
and when you were talking with Bridget, I remembered a moment when I just put my foot on the brake because, mm-hmm, it was going to roll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the chain.
I think I heard you say you,
yeah,
you small Y-O-U, yeah, would never change.
Oh.
But the circumstance,
yeah,
can make the change for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I mean, in that, that people, so many people have been through holy instances that cropped up in their life, and in a situation like that, when you suddenly do something with the tractor that seems to be beyond your awareness, suddenly everything came together for a few seconds.
Just,
yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you wouldn't, he says. Kenny says, I wouldn't. I am apparently addicted to and happy with, at this level, the body, and I'll never need to leave the body at this level. But on the other hand, were the situation to arise and arrive, you will jump at it. Like slamming.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
ready for it.
Yeah. Ready for it. Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, some of what we've already talked about now. You're ready for what? Something bigger and better. Thank you very much. Something smaller and more limited? Forget about it. I'm good with what I got. But are you ready? Is there a part of your mind that is ready to go beyond the body? Bridget says, are you ready? I'm already looking for this door. I've been trying all sorts of doors along the way, and I'm ready for more.
Is it either or, Andrew? I mean, can you enjoy the body and the spiritual awareness at the same time?
You can use the body to get your spiritual awareness. So, absolutely. In fact, we're all sitting here in bodies looking for our door. So not only...
It started to sound like this, kind of like I had to like commit to going past.
Well, what we're looking at is the exclusivity of only believing the body is true, and that maybe there's some other way, you know, spiritual, but I don't know what it, I can't, since I haven't seen it
beyond the five senses,
right, then it can't really be true, right? It's nice to talk about, you know, see, that's somebody who has not had the spiritual awakening yet. They can read the books, you can memorize the phrases and say, well, that's kind of nice, and you can always hear it because it's so shallow, the discussion is so shallow. But somebody who's actually been moved, somebody who's actually had that knowingness dawn on them, there's a different, it's a larger discussion than what the body can hold. And you can, as the Course says in a couple of places, it says love recognizes love. Love communicates with itself. Love and fear do not communicate. Love and hate do not communicate. And so when this hunger, this desire, this knowingness, and this desire matures into a knowingness because you've been rewarded from becoming still, from abandoning just for a few seconds the old linear thinking, you actually took a step up and something opened up, your heart and your mind lit at the same time, and something new was known, something bigger was known. Once that happens, this is what a spiritual awakening is. It's like taking a step on a staircase. Now the body, because this is what's at hand, literally, is going to be the quickest way for you. It's going to serve you, going to serve your mind. Before a spiritual awakening, and this is also in the book, before the spiritual awakening, the mind was supporting the body. With the spiritual awakening, the body supports the mind as it pursues its awakening. Yeah, good, 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 good. Carol, what would it take for you?
Experience.
Ah, yes.
And I'm also one that's always, you'll always hear me say, it's a knowingness, a knowing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so that's related to experience.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And yeah, in fact, the knowing comes after the experience. Yes, indeed. So how can we have an experience? How can we make our way into an experience that's beyond the body?
Whew. You can choose to bring certain things into your life and certain people that evoke.
Oh, really? You can. And this is one way to do it.
Right.
So you can choose
people. Choose who you hang out with, what
yep.
you but so, in your body, all of it.
So what I hear you saying is you could choose a guide, mm-hmm. maybe one who has gone a step before you, and this can bring you, and then you would have faith and trust in that little step of this person as a model. That's what the book is to me. And this Jesus character is now providing a path I can walk on. In English! I speak English, so it's really handy. And so here I go. That's what I think I heard you say. That is a way that you could change, because you can gain an experience. You can actually walk the walk with this book and these lessons, as they take you into your personal day with your family, your job, your health issues, your time, and invite a miracle, a shift in perception with your particular stuff, and you can experience freedom. And you find that internal empowerment, and then now what else can I do? What else? Let's do the next lesson. What else can I do? That's exactly right. The experience, you can choose it. Very good. Very good, Carol. Mario?
Well, the two things that I came up with was sacrifice and truth. Mm-hmm. I left my ego at home. I don't want to visit it when I get back. But I'm just saying, it's just yes. that I made a sacrifice
yes.
to my body and what it's doing to me to be here.
Yes, yes.
So I chose to sacrifice my body
yes.
to come to the truth.
Yes.
And it's funny that he brought up our five senses.
Yes.
That there's a spiritual five senses
uh-huh.
that all has to come in one. Then you can taste it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, I'm at this place where it's just like, wait a minute. I'm glad I stepped in here when I first came here.
Yes.
Because now it's all coming together.
Yes.
Because I'm in a new world. Remember when I was telling you I was renaming all the animals?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. That's where I'm at.
Okay, so Mario, I just want you to give your book right there.
Oh, I don't have a book, but I...
All right, grab one of those books. I just want you to see. Everybody turn to page 463 in the text. This speaks particularly to what Mario just said. 463 in the text. Yes. Look at those italics on 463. Look at that number 14 indented on page 463. Mario said, sacrifice the body for the truth. And it says, and do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth? That's taken a step up.
Well, that's because of that sacrifice that I gave to get the truth. And here you're slapping it over my head.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm
oh,
just saying
yeah.
it's just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Because this is what I'm seeking. And it's
God. It's what's been driving Bridget for all these years. She wanted the truth, and she was willing to give up again and again anything that was less than what she had experienced and believed was the truth. You get this feeling of truth, see? And you go back after it again and again. This is, it's part of the design that you carried with you. It's called right-mindedness in the book. But you carried with you love the whole time. And then when we get in situations that are anything less than loving, part of you is hungry now to return to love.
And you know, this is spiritual medicine that kind of, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
This is what I see.
Yes.
I want to be addicted to this.
Yes, you came in. Yes. It's for you.
No, that's why I tasted it. I'm like, wait a minute. That's I right. need my...
You don't go back. Yeah. You can't go back. Bridget can't go back.
It's because almost. You've had the experiences.
Thank you.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And you had them all throughout your life, even before Course. It's just now with Course in Miracles and the workbook, it drives you to have them intentionally. And then there's no place else to point to but yourself. When you discover that it is now, didn't happen to you, it happened as you. And that means you're it. That means you are now fully capable. It didn't come from the outside. It wasn't a drug or a person or a time or a place. It was actually just uncovering you. remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence and the power that is you. That's really, really good news in my book. This is a book on self-empowerment like no other.
I kind of want to say something real silly.
Well, that would be a first.
Is it because we had intercourse first?
You're working on that one.
No, it's okay.
This is an intercourse in miracles, but... Luann?
I don't have any faith in my body. Okay. What I have is faith that something is taking care of it for me and I don't have to do it.
Aha. Yes.
That doesn't mean I don't take care of my body. I take care of whatever I'm told to do with it.
Yes.
But whatever happens to my body isn't really up to me.
Yeah.
I don't really have too many fears about my body. Like, if I fall down, I just fall. If I run into a deer like I did the other day, I just ran into a deer, and I don't worry about what's going to happen to my body.
Mm-hmm. What does it take for you to move your attention to being other than your body?
What does it take for me? Well, first of all, I will say, when you mentioned the word fear, mm-hmm. I mean faith, mm-hmm. my hand went like this, and I felt like I have to grab onto it.
Okay.
So what I fear is that I might lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But what I also know is that I have a source within me that says I don't need to fear that. I don't need to fear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that the source, if I listen to it, and my and it comes through my body,
yes.
when you say my body serves me, my source comes through me and tells me what it wants me to do, what I feel good if I do.
So part of the challenge of doing the workbook is indeed holding on. There's some of the lessons we like and some we don't like. We love some of these lessons, and the other ones slip through our fingers.
Well, I'm getting to a point. I'm finally past 50.
Mm-hmm, nice. Yeah, good. Well, it gets pretty cheery.
So far, I love every single one of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good, good.
Even I love nothing.
Yeah, 11 wasn't so good to you.
Yeah, but
3 didn't have a lot.
It wasn't. The lesson wasn't easy. It wasn't. My ego didn't want me to go there because I might learn something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finally got back to it, then mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yes, yes.
So, I don't know if you consider Tai Chi meditation, but that was an example of an out-of-body experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking at my body, watching it do Tai Chi by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of said to me, you know what, my body's doing what it's going to do based on mm-hmm. some other force beside me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't have to worry about it because that force is a lot stronger than whatever I think I should do with my body. But I like both what Bridget and Carol said. I think it's definitely some kind of a knowingness. And what I'd have to do to give up my knowingness, first of all, I don't want to, but then second of all, I have no idea what I'd have to do to give it up.
Well, that's kind of like Kenny. Kenny says, I can't even pretend to say that I would give up my body. I'm too busy with it. But I know it can just happen. He says, it just happens. He doesn't try to architect it. He is confident in just being present on the tractor or studying A Course in Miracles. That's what I heard him say. And it's bigger than him anyway. So he's not going to do it anyway. But he's available to do the right thing at the right time.
Well, that's what a miracle is, right?
Thank you.
Because you don't know it's going to happen, but you have to be open. You have to be aware that it's possible.
Yes.
You know, and you have to be open to be able to recognize.
Yes.
When that shift occurs in your mind.
Yes, and be aware of the presence of that power and let go of whatever other way the ego would have you do.
Yeah, yeah.
To shift.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, that's readiness. That's the readiness that we talk about.
Mm.
The Course says readiness is not mastery. But that's because after the faith and the experience, and then the knowingness is mastery. Mm. It comes with being ready and actually doing it.
So yes. I guess what I'd say is, for me, this book is the way to know that I know.
Yes. Mm. This is a, yeah, very good.
Mm. And that's
very good.
And that's why I am.
Yes.
When I get afraid, that's why I cling to it. That's
very good.
Why I come every week.
Very good. Yes. A way for you to know that you know.
Andrew, do you feel like you've mastered this? Or on the road to mastering it?
I have gone past the 51% point.
Right.
There have been enough tests in my life the last couple of years where I just find myself so free in otherwise difficult situations that I know that I am well past the tipping point. I've tipped. Hmm. So there is a, something has shifted in me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far or what it means, mm-hmm. but boy, my God, it has shifted. Mm-hmm. That's why, it's for sure.
And you said something one time mm-hmm. about you caught yourself. Mm-hmm. That you had an experience and you caught yourself with the ego, and it was easy for you to let it go.
Oh my God, yeah, and that was, it's years and years ago, since where I would actually participate in catching myself. Now my default is peace. My normal state is peace. So when upsetting things come to my eyes or my ears or to my body, physical things to my body, the default is as I navigate this peacefully, how do I do this? You know, I mean, I don't know, some examples, okay, for you is I have a tree in my backyard. It's a redwood tree, 150 feet up, and I sit on the top, read A Course in Miracles. And I made this gizmo where it's an elevator that I made, and it will drag my butt up there 150 feet in the air, and then I clip off of a safety wire and clip onto another one and climb the last 10 feet, on and on. Well, sometimes it needs maintenance, you know, something gets stuck. And, you know, one day I was climbing on my safety wire only, and it... there's a mechanism that holds you when you're rock climbing, and it slipped, and I fell about 3 feet, and I fell onto my second safety wire, and you know, as I'm falling, and I tried to grab the tree, and it just tore through my flesh, and because 3 feet is actually pretty far when you're falling from 150 feet, and it was all in those few moments. It was like trying to steady my body from going upside down or what have you, and stop. You know, and the equipment did grab me. And so there's injury, there's, you know, it's a long way down. But there was a sense of presence that I had, and it did not leave me through the whole exciting adventure. The body did things as quickly as it could, but my mind stayed present. And it let go as my hand wouldn't cut any further. As my hand was cutting on something, I was able to release that and grab with my... This kind of thing was very peaceful. The whole thing was peaceful. So my standard of peace has become more present all the time. And it's shifted. And that's just one. I have a couple other examples.
Yeah, I have a few of those. I fell through an 8-foot roof one time. Mm. Landed on my back.
Yeah.
And as I was falling, I said, well, Luann, all you have to do is stay awake, so if you have a problem, you can call your kids and tell them to do something.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes, there are major events like that. Sometimes the biggest events are the easiest ones. The big dramatic events, because they're so dramatic, they're a little easier. The real test is the little things. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
honestly,
because you don't have your mind going all the time.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have your awareness going on the little ones.
Yeah, yeah. There's not adrenaline and all the excitement and everything. And to me, that's the bigger proof. Stubbing my toe. On it, you're walking along, and I stub my toe coming out of the garage into the house on some cement. How do you treat that? That hurts, and I could have avoided it, and shoulda, woulda, coulda. Why'd you leave that crescent wrench on the floor anyway? All the ego stuff come up on these small things. That's been even a larger proof for me, actually, that you bring it up. That has been a larger proof for me of my peace of mind. It's little things.
And your peace of mind about, like, family and relationships and stuff like that.
Compassion has been born. Yeah, yeah, I now, because of this... I now see in other people's difficulty. I mean, they have problems with me. People have problems with me. I do things that affect other people's lives, and they will come at me. And you know, the compassion is born in me. As the workbook lesson says, it says, "Would you blame yourself for doing this? What would it take for you to raise your voice and use a four-letter word?" You know, my compassion comes up right away now, and I don't feel like attacking back. You know, I will defend myself only as a matter of fact, but there's no need for emotion around it or for counterattack. It's counterproductive. It's not helpful.
Defenselessness.
Yeah, my safety is there. And then, so for me, when people come at me, they tend to de-escalate pretty quick because I'm not fighting back with any kind of attack. But it's just simply understanding that whatever I'm dealing with, I have more in common with, in truth, than the difference that has shown up. So I have compassion comes pretty quickly for me now. Yeah. And I'm very grateful for it. And it gets easier and easier. And also the exposure to the ability to choose peace makes me wonder, what else can I do? What else is latent in me? And so I'm really curious to see, before leaving the body, what else can I do?
That's a whole different twist than what I've always said my purpose of being here was.
Mm-hmm.
Which was that God wants to know itself.
Yeah.
And my purpose is to find out who I am so that God knows itself more.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what you just said about what else can I... If I let go of all this egoic stuff, then mm-hmm. what I learn is... whatever you said, which I now can't remember.
Yeah, because what happened to me was what it used to be. This is all a mistake. It used to be, you know, life is difficult, and there's depression, and there's anger, and there's discomfort, and there's pain, and you know, for years. And then I was on my spiritual journey to say, there's got to be another way. Love has got to be somewhere present. This just can't be the destiny of. I mean, look at all how beautiful it can't. It could be, and so. So as I began to shed off the ego's answers and I picked up the spiritual answers, I began to realize this is not a mistake. There is nothing wrong here. That we're all here on the cutting edge of love just being born yet through another flower, so to speak. Through another form. Form now is the whole dream. But love is everywhere. God is, period. Even in the dream. And so now let me follow in that intention. Intention of expressing love, of experiencing love here. It might be fun. It's no longer a mistake. And there's no sin.
Yeah, that was something I heard here, because I've heard before that, you know, the church I go to there, that God creates through me, or through all, you know. But then you said something like, it can be fun. You said it a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I said, oh, okay, then it's God can play through me.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. But and you're one thought away from play.
Or despair.
Or terror. Yeah, the other night, my truck, just on the way back from Course in Miracles 2 weeks ago, my truck, I was sitting on the freeway at midnight, and the engine went out. And it was just a contrast of living through that free versus imagining problems for the next day or inconvenience or cost. I mean, the ego, you have a choice whether you're going to play with your next moment or you're going to be terrorizing your next moment. Yeah, but you need to touch it. You know, it's really good to have the experience. It's really good to touch it. This is what the Course in Miracles lessons are so great for. I recommend everybody actually, as close as you can, really do the lessons like it says on that page. When it says 4 times an hour, do it. At least 1 hour, right? Really do it. And catch yourself. So you can have the experience of freedom of your mind right in the middle of something bad. So you have a spiritual awakening. Dealing with, you know, ice cream or gas tanks or traffic, or something comes over your radio about a certain politician. And then it's time to do your lesson.
One?
Oh, yeah, it could be any of them. It depends on who you are. You have to get creative, right? But you could choose peace. Your grievances hide the light of the world in you. Whose grievances? Busted. You could have a spiritual awakening right then and there. Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, that's what we do. Freedom? For faith, how would you... switching off of something you believe so direly and completely, what would it take for you to switch?
Desperation.
There you go. Okay.
Hell yeah! Blessed by desperation. Now, I love that answer. Because you can have faith in something merely out of no other choice, and you would like another, please. In fact, I'll try anything. Certainly.
She's doing, she's trying the Course in Miracles.
Yeah! Next. Desperation.
Exactly.
Certainly. Now, what happens when we do something out of desperation, turns out, is we get to go back and have gratitude for that thing that we are desperate to leave. Because it brings this rare experience of knowing. This rare experience of an inner, very personal inner knowing that I don't know if it would have been any other way to get you there. This is what Course in Miracles also means when it talks about saving the world, right? The very thing you're running from is actually delivering you to. You stubborn egomaniac, you. Jeff,
so many great thoughts here tonight. All super valid, you know, trains to jump on. Mine is more of like curiosity, because I've had some tastes.
Okay.
Enough to know that there's a reason to practice,
yes,
and to put energy into it, and to,
yes,
and to stay open.
Yes,
to try and stay open.
Yes,
to just try, you know. So it's just. For me, it's kind of like a curiosity that drives me.
Nice.
Because it's like, okay, I know there's more. Let's just,
yes,
see what we can find out there.
Yes. Okay, so curiosity.
Along with everything else.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
Yeah.
Because curiosity is it can be just as powerful as desperation. Desperation is really powerful. Curiosity is very powerful. When you're in the ability to move, dabble, tinker, curiosity is a component of creation. And so to be able to move off of what's known to the unknown is an open-mindedness and a willing to take a risk.
And then to find those plateaus,
mm-hmm,
and say, okay, well, I can see between now and then that where there was change and it feels good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm on this new plateau. What might be next?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and to recognize that, mm-hmm, the plateau you're on is higher.
That's the where the gratitude comes in. It's like, oh,
yes,
I have. If I do feel better, I'm thinking more clearly. I'm more empowered.
Yes,
you know. So I'm grateful for that.
Grateful gratitude.
Then let's just get some more.
Yes, there we go. That's it. What else can I do?
What else is left? What's next?
Beautiful. New girl. I forgot your name.
Patricia.
I originally was going to say like the mind and body relationship, like as a marriage. But then when you started talking about the out of body experience, I all of a sudden remembered when I had one after an accident, and I actually had an agreement. And I remember, you know, being above everybody and watching myself lying there on the grass, and the agreement was, it was almost as if, you know how they have the cartoons, like the God, the devil, and the angel?
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically, you know, being told, you know, leave, this place sucks, mm-hmm, just end it now, and the other part saying, no, you have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was almost like I was given a choice, but the agreement was if I were to go back into my body, mm-hmm, then it would serve me.
then it would serve you.
I never thought of it, though, until we're talking about it. Like, wow, 20-some years later, now I'm thinking about what that meant.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. It really was. The mind was so busy promoting the body, and now the body can promote the mind.
So my word was actually courage, because I remember feeling really scared when it happened, like just the unknown. And I remember when it happened, there was nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
yes,
there's no pain, there's no...
Yes, yes.
So I went back, not really being afraid, and just dealing.
A shift in perception about the whole body thing had occurred. You can't go back. There's a sense of freedom that comes from that. They can't go back. So now what can we do with it? Now what can you do?
No more
accidents. Well, first of all, accidents, huh? Brother John.
Well, what was the question?
Well, the question is, what would it take for you to actually change a dedicated faith? Something you're dedicated in doing, for you to stop doing that, what would it take?
Well, for me, I'm thinking it would take a spiritual experience.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, my age, I'm thinking as we get older and older, we tend to stay stuck in our ways, and so I'd have to really be moved off the dime.
Very nice.
And
yes.
Not that I'm like not open to new ideas.
Yes.
I just have a lot of my own.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not all bad, they're not all good.
Yeah.
But it would require, just clearing my mind of the crap and focusing, on just not on anything. I'm just letting it come to me, letting the Holy Spirit actually provide. Sometimes, I try to give it more often these days to the Holy Spirit if I have a problem.
Yes.
Any particular problem?
Yeah.
I don't do this all the time, but
sure.
More and more I try to do it.
Yes.
And sometimes I tend to wonder, like, this has happened today. I'm thinking, I want to go back to my... and I don't think this... I just end up thinking in my old ways, and it feels like cold and wrong.
Yeah.
Because, I get results from the Holy Spirit in ways I don't expect.
Yes.
I don't even know of.
Yes.
And but I feel it.
Yes. And then you are moved and you're shifted.
And I think, well, I don't like this. I'd rather, something not really conscious, but almost conscious.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to think like this. I'd like to the warmth and peace of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In my limited experience.
Yes.
Of this, but I know it's truth.
Yes.
And so that's when I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, but there is another way.
Yeah,
you have been moved somewhere along that path. You were moved off the dime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'm preparing to redo the course again, and with some deliberation. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Okay, then, very good. Because you could be moved again.
I don't want to jinx anything.
Well, I'm telling you, it's just like a staircase, and you are invited to take a step up with A Course in Miracles and actually get out of your comfort zone.
And when I say I don't want to jinx anything, that's a result of old thinking.
I know. It's also a source of gratitude, from gratitude, because you're really grateful for what you have.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. And Jesus loves that. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the part of our humanity that says we can know God. That's all. Not some dude someplace else. It's just a word now that symbolizes that what John is describing as that gratitude that says he's got something in his heart. He says, I can actually choose peace, and I'm going to keep it. Beautiful. Good, good, good. Okay, so we've got just time now. Jump into page 414 in the text. And this is crazy enough. This is talking about a section of the book where we need to drop our faith in the body a bit because we're so deeply following it. Look how the Course puts it. Would you like to read for us?
Sure.
Great. Paragraph 11.
But think you which it is that is compatible with you. Here is your choice, and it is free. But all that lies in it will come with it, and what you think you are can never be apart from it. The body is the great seeming betrayer of faith. In it lies disillusionment and the seeds of faithlessness, but only if you ask of it what it cannot give. Can your mistake be reasonable grounds for depression and disillusionment and for retaliative attack on what you think has failed you? Use not your error as a justification for your faithlessness. You have not sinned, but you have been mistaken in what is faithful. And the correction of your mistake will give you grounds for faith.
And the correction of your mistake, that the body deserves your full faith, and this is the mistake, to be dropped. The body is a mechanism for you, a place for you to hide from love. Not a place where you can love. Ego says you need the body so you get the lips, and the lips kiss the other lips, and everything goes great. Before you know it, you got a family. So says the ego. Nothing wrong with that. It's just misdirected. It's a misuse of creation to say that that is what you seek. When we use the word love, the highest reach of love is not through a body.
It's not what?
Not through a body.
Wow. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I know. That's why we're sitting here with a big fat book.
You could have a child.
It's a child.
A child is just this beautiful creation that
yes.
God's intention had to create, so it's created
innocent,
out of love.
Right? Young child, innocent, created out of love, and you feel love for it. And then the puppy too, if you got a puppy, you got a puppy and a child.
Why can't you love it all?
Absolutely.
Where does the love come from?
That's my good.
Jeff is saying, he said, you know what, I maybe you can use the body as you pursue love. And I'm saying it's the only way you can here. But be careful now, because these are symbols here. The child is a symbol.
Wow, it's funny you said that.
Yes?
Because I've been playing with this symbol that I found.
Yes?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a
little bit.
Let's go.
Yes,
that is going to take your shirt off, huh?
Okay, no. Because, you know, it's funny you said that, because look at I found this. Okay?
Okay.
And it's all about me, because when I went through that engagement ring,
yes.
That wedding ring,
yep.
And into that supper ring,
yep.
It brought me here.
Right, that might be the funniest thing you've ever said.
Okay.
That could be it.
That's the ring I earned.
You should write this stuff down, Mark.
No,
yeah, we got
it. Please write it down and then hand it out to us next week.
Yeah. But that's right. You gave it all the meaning it had for you. See, and
well,
same with the child.
That's why I'm here, because of, you know, believe me, I have a beautiful baby, and I didn't have a puppy, but two beautiful babies, and you know. But the thing is, I learned everything, and this is what brought me here.
Yes,
it was my suffering.
Yes,
but it's okay. But I had to go through the circus.
Yes.
You know, but you know what?
Now look, when you got that ring, okay, let's all get there. When he got the diamond ring to as an expression of his love for to have as become a wedding ring, he didn't know that there was suffering to follow.
Well,
so what was it? It was love. It was his medium to express a complete devotion and dedication to that woman. It was a beautiful moment. Two paychecks. Wow, just for that one ring. Oh, that's love and dedication.
No, I need three.
Yeah. You know, and so it's all the meaning that you give it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so there is, in fact, all sorts of... Check out the latest songs that are on the radio. You can find them describe love and describe loss. But it's all the intention. But it turns out that compared to the love that your spiritual identity is, or from which everything is made, these are all fantasies. They're all fractional at best.
Fractional.
Even the baby. Yeah. Even the baby.
Yeah.
Certainly a wonderful symbol of love.
Right. Yeah, so I'm just saying yes and.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's what I think for Jeff as well. Yes and. Yes, the body, and there's more. And I'm curious about what more it can do. And Bridget says, there's way more. It won't even fit in this body or any body. And the closer I get to something and permission to fly with that, I will. And that's what she's doing here. And that's what I'm doing here. Way, way more than that child, than that puppy, than anything this world can afford. I know there's more. I know there's more. That light has been born in me. To see now, to look at the world again with that light. There's no going back from these experiences.
Well, here's a way I think of using the body, what you're talking about, to perceive some kind of love. Is we were talking about a song or music, right?
Yes, yes.
And I'm not a song guy because I'm not a lyric guy.
Okay.
I love instrumental.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
There's no words to communicate a meaning, but when I hear a symphony that I love, it's like my body has this visceral reaction to it. The emotion that that expresses is greater than any word that you could put into a song.
Yes. Yes. Like that. The mystery of how music...
That's why I love playing piano, and I play instrumental.
And you do. Yes. Yes. No, we will. Yeah, we'll talk about that more as we go on, because music is an insight. Music is a huge insight. Yeah, yeah.
We got a piano for sale.
Yeah, this meeting is so useful sometimes.
Bulletin board.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I have people look at me strange saying, how can you like that over, you know, a love song with all these great words?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, they don't get it. That's all. They simply don't get it. That's all there is to it.
It's just drama in the song.
No, there can be happy songs too, but it just doesn't, to me, doesn't communicate as well.
Yes. There is a, with music that touches you like that, it's a very personal, you said visceral, which means inside, under the layer. It's a vibration over which you have no choice. An experience over which you have no choice. And for me, that's another reason why I would get off of something else I've trusted, is when I have an experience over which I have no choice. Maybe that's what Kenny described with the tractor. There was such an absoluteness of hitting the brake to saving the day. That's power. Running out of words to describe. You can't describe that music. It's going to be funny use of trying. Like trying to describe a color. You can't do that. But you could possibly play it for us.
You can experience it, but you can't.
And we could experience it, like Carol says. Experience is a movement beyond. Music has the ability to move one spiritually beyond. We will explore that more. It's a really, really great way for everybody. You know, people who have an art and have experienced music, and other people, so painting has the same ability. There are beautiful colors and shapes that can move you beyond yourself. And it's just a way that reality, the fixed world, leaks or breaks down. And music, for me, is a very tangible way. And sculpture, I'm a sculptor. And things happen, and it goes way beyond me in those moments. Yeah. But we digress a little bit. So let's grab this next paragraph, would you please? Paragraph 12.
It is impossible to seek for pleasure through the body and not find pain. It is essential that this relationship be understood, for it is one the ego sees as proof of sin. It is not really punitive at all. It is but the inevitable result of equating yourself with the body, which is the invitation to pain, for it invites fear to enter and become your purpose. The attraction of guilt must enter with it, and whatever fear directs the body to do is therefore painful. It will share the pain of all illusions, and the illusion of pleasure will be the same as pain.
Wow, that's a crazy paragraph.
Isn't that a crazy paragraph? But it's pretty pointed. It's pretty pointed. Does everybody get it?
That's a good dance move, isn't it?
I don't necessarily get it, because like when you said, like when you stubbed your foot.
Yep.
I mean, for me, I'm like, oh, life. I feel it through the pain. Like to me, even the pain
is an indication of my body being alive and part of the all that gets to experience what it feels like to be alive.
Yes.
Kind of the paradox of I can't feel without being in a body.
Yes.
And I can't be in a body and not feel.
Yes.
So I'm in a body, obviously. So
right.
I'm here.
Yes.
Enjoy this body.
Yes.
Enjoy whatever comes along and be open to what new comes along. And
yes.
Good or bad, whatever those terms mean, it's all good.
You bet.
It's all for experience.
You bet.
So that's why I'm like all inclusive with like the kid too, like the baby too. It made me feel like, well, you're saying, oh, we should just ignore the body or disavow the body, or the body is blah blah, it's just a vehicle. Mm-hmm. While it is just that, it's also this miracle that enables to even have this book in our hand and be doing the course.
Yeah. And now you can use the body and embrace the body to go beyond the body while enjoying the body and the baby and stubbing your toe. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of stubbing my toe now. Mm-hmm. I can laugh, you know, sit in my truck or the freeway boat, you know, wow, it's kind of funny. You know, these circumstances of a body, as soon as I see myself in these funny situations to get myself into, it's just funny that I'm hanging on, trying to reattach the rope. Silly. You know, it's just fun. It's fun now.
Yeah.
And there's no sin, there's nothing wrong with it. But what's happened to me is now there's something beyond I can't get away from. There's something beyond even that funniness or the stubbing the toe. There's something better than stubbing your toe, it turns out. Mm-hmm. There's something better than some of the greatest dark chocolate. I mean, there are better experiences now that have lit on my mind already. Mm-hmm. And they were not out there. Yes?
I think it's in the first sentence where it says the word seek. It's impossible to seek for pleasure and not find pain. And I think, like, somewhere else what you're talking about, like, it's one thing if you're just going along and you feel it and experience it, pleasure or pain, but it's another thing to be seeking for pleasure.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Excellent.
Good point.
You know, this book has a lot of good dance moves. I mean, you know, if you really put it in a floor and shake it all down, I'm going to tell you, it takes it to a whole different place.
It's in the iambic pentameter, right, Andrew?
Yes. Over 60% of the book. Yep.
So that gives it a kind of structure which I think he's referring, sort of alluding to anyway. Mm-hmm. It has a rhythm all its own that also is really gets the meaning across in a special way.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but
that's true.
And it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, indeed. And there are, it's written with double negatives, you know, like, you know, the double negative says it's not, it is what it is not that it's not. And that means it is. Mm-hmm. What? But it slows you down. It slows down your fast ego that's jumping for some simple answer when really there's an introspection that needs to occur. So put the brakes on.
Yeah, I've noticed that in reading some of this, is that it's like you have to read this and you go, what? And you read it again and you go, what? And you have to read it again just to be able to catch whether it's an insight or not, but just to understand the sentence.
Just understand the sentence.
You're saying that's a purpose. They purposely wrote it that way.
Yes, they did. This is not a novel. This is not a novel. This is a deep introspection into what you are.
Exactly.
Yo.
I got a new dance called The Undercurrent, where the ocean meets the river.
Okay.
Right there.
All right. Anthony, you want to read Forrest paragraph? Paragraph 13? Oh, wait. First of all, we need to look at sentence 5, actually. Yeah, all right. So, it is but the inevitable result of equating yourself with the body, which is the invitation to pain, for it invites fear to enter and become your purpose. Mm. Fear now becomes a tool the body would navigate the world with. It's kind of a rough way to live. Yeah.
I can't find that sentence anywhere.
Oh, it's right in the middle of paragraph 12. Sorry.
So number 4.
What we just read.
Oh, he said 5.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So just for kicks, before we go to the next paragraph, turn to turn back about 20 pages or so to 388. Now, I just like to visit this every once in a while. And let's just read paragraphs 1 and 2 on page 388. Oh. 10 pages, huh?
Stop.
Under I need do nothing. You ready? Who's up?
Okay, sure.
Who's up next? Oh, Mark, please.
You still have too much faith in the body as a source of strength. What plans do you make that do not involve its comfort or protection or enjoyment in some way? This makes the body an end and not a means in your interpretation, and this always means you still find sin attractive. No one accepts atonement for himself who still accepts sin as his goal.
Remember, sin just means separation in this book.
You have thus not met your one responsibility. Atonement is not welcomed by those who prefer pain and destruction.
And atonement you might also consider as ultimate compassion, being able to share oneness. And that's not interesting if pain and guilt and suffering and separation is your goal and handy. Mm-hmm. So you got to get over that. Mm-hmm. Let's continue.
There is one thing that you have never done. You have not utterly forgotten the body. It has perhaps faded at times from your sight, but it has not yet completely disappeared. You are not asked to let this happen for more than an instant, yet it is in this instant that the miracle of atonement happens.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, you will see the body again, but never quite the same. And every instant that you spend without awareness of it gives you a different view of it when you return.
And then, Walt, would you just read one more sentence from paragraph 3, first sentence?
But no single instant does the body exist at all.
Period. What are we reading here? And yet, this has to dawn just for an instant now. And your out-of-body experience helps. Maybe some drugs help. Maybe a good meditation helps. Just an instant of stillness away from your body changes the whole perspective of what you are.
So when it refers to the body, it's talking about instinct, like your kind of animalistic urges, which includes your ego.
Yes, but it means your mental identity with the body.
Identifying with, literally identifying.
Who am I? I'm Mark.
I'm curious. Has everybody in this room seen the TED Talk?
Joe Bolte Taylor?
Stroke of Insight is the most mind-blowing TED Talk you'll ever see by a neuroscientist who's super heady, that has like basically a stroke, so she's like witnesses herself.
Oh, I've read the book. Yeah, I heard about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I read the book.
Yeah. Everybody here seen that one? Yeah. A Stroke of Insight. It's a TED Talk.
It will change the world. It's the Course of Miracles.
Yeah.
What she's explaining, whether we're attached to our body or the all that our body is part of.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah, very, very helpful. Yeah, yeah. It's a good way to look at things. Yeah, indeed. Write that one down. Yes. Yes.
So I have to ask a really basically stupid question.
Well, good.
Awesome. You should answer it.
We all know you're stupid.
Yeah. There are.
It doesn't matter whether it's stupid or not, I'm going to ask it. Instance where you know you are not your body, I've had.
Okay.
But does that mean that I shouldn't be making my body comfortable?
Not at all.
Thank you.
When you're really aware that you're not your body, no longer does the body have the need to go or stay. If the body needs to go, or if a body's in the way, you're giving it way too much respect. Now you can keep the body and at no cost. The fear that we just read about in the previous paragraph is no longer an element. And there's no longer a fear element. Because you're free of the body. You've got a sense of freedom from the body, and now you can just be where you are. And you can maximize where you are.
Now it's more
It's confusing, though, to talk to me referring to the body. It's when you're really talking about the identity.
Thank you.
Yes.
You yes. know? It's really the identity with the body, not the body physically.
Right.
Yeah, because it turns out, well, I don't want to go too far on this because it's a little bit crazy, but see, there is no body.
Right.
In truth, it is a dream. It's a fiction, like a cartoon, that only is there when you look at it. Hey, that's the truth.
And it's only there for that moment you look at it.
That's correct. Yes.
What's that title of that movie again?
Oh, A Stroke of Insight. Yeah, yeah.
YouTube video, it's like 20 minutes.
But if you're in the movie theater, halfway through a movie, why not finish the movie, right?
Okay, thank you.
And that's what you're doing. And there's a lot to it. This is not a mistake. The only mistake is the identity that this is what you are. That's the mistake we're here to heal, not the baby, you know, to get rid of that. Oh, or the puppy or the chocolate.
Oh,
you know, all baby. more than the wedding ring and the roses. Oh, take it all. Yeah. There's no problem.
No idea if this is right or wrong, but it just came to me. The body is a tool. Something for your whatever that is that we're talking about.
Yeah.
To be able to eat. To use to what I said earlier, to create.
Yes, yes, yes. So the Course has a beautiful sentence that describes the inverse, of fear, the inverse of loss. It's this. It says, the loveliest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. On earth.
That means a lot.
And it says many times, it says, you came here to lose, and now, awakened, you are here to gain.
Compound interest.
There you go.
We'll talk about.
Well, can't get dark chocolate in heaven. There's no chocolate in heaven. Better get it now while you can. And it's fun. And it's free. And you will recognize, as it says in chapter 27, you recognize yourself as the dreamer of the dream. So for you to yourself, you can be grateful to all the wonderful things. And you can be understanding of all the horrible things. This saves the world. It's no longer out to get you. The cancer, the pedophiles, the politicians, the volcanoes, all the problems that you can come up with, they're no longer out to get you. You see how major that is for your freedom. That there is no power that can get you. Part of your awakening. It must happen.
I took a step back in this course and really started looking at this life through a spiritual sense, like a movie.
Yep.
You sit in that right row, the popcorn's free.
It's free, buddy.
Oh, man.
turn to page 660.
Andrew, Journey Beyond Words, you know the book?
Yes, I do. Love it.
I'm starting to read that now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody should be reading that.
It's a great companion book, of course. It's just a thought about how you are invulnerable.
Yes.
What's it called?
Journey Beyond Words.
There's only a couple of books that I would allow to be recommended in this room, and that's one of them.
Journey Beyond Words.
Journey Beyond Words.
That, I mean, if we read any other books, you would look down on
it. I would kick you out. I'd get on my bamboo stick, and I would chase you out. There's only a handful of books that are really, you know, at the level that are respectful to what we're doing tonight. And Journey Beyond Words is sure one of them. This person, the same author, I recognize the same author that wrote The Course in Miracles, was channeled through another human being, not Helen Schuckman. The guy wrote it down. He said, I'll have nothing to do with it. Here you go.
Huh.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
It's a lot simple. You know, there's a couple of themes from the workbook, and it just works. It's like sitting down with Jesus and having a cup of coffee. And he says, you know what? Here's what I was talking about in the workbook.
Right.
Let's just talk about values, for example. Here's what I really meant.
Valuing.
Oh, it's precious.
That's what we're actually talking about today.
Yeah.
Wow. Valuing.
It's a quick read. It's absolutely beautiful. If it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, I will buy the copy that whatever you paid for it, I'll pay you.
It's $600 for mine.
Oh, no! No, I'm going to cry. I'll show you the tears. I'll show you the tears. All right, turn to page 660.
660.
660. And let's just look a little further into this. Who's up to bat?
I am.
Very good. Paragraph 1.
You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real...
No, I got to interrupt you because we're running short on time. I'll interrupt you as we go along. Seeing the flesh recognize the spirit, what it means here by that is there is a binary occurrence that has to happen. If you see the flesh as real, you cannot recognize the spirit. Mm. It's okay. You can come back and play with flesh and have more kids and give them each a puppy. You can. Yeah, and chocolate. Go to the chocolate business. You can do that. However, it's because you're free now. When you recognize spirit, flesh is no longer all there is.
Yeah.
That's the spiritual awakening. Please continue.
If one is real, the other must be false. For what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold is true. On this one choice does all your world depend, for here have you established what you are, as flesh or spirit in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more except to heal and comfort and to bless.
Just like that. Mm. And it has to happen. This is an awakening that has to occur, and it will not happen to you. It's the bad news. This will not happen to you. You will not be forced to believe that you are spirit. You'll be forced to give up your flesh or your children or what have you. You will not be forced. You will be invited only because it's the truth, Mario. It's you want to see what you've denied because it is the truth. That is the invitation. It will not be forced in front of you and nothing will ever be taken from you. That would be an exact opposite of an education of what you are. You are a creator. And if you want to make horror movies, go for it.
And that answers my question I had a little ago. That you may see the world of flesh no more except to heal and comfort and to bless.
Yeah, because that's an invitation to love.
Amen.
That's compassion. It's a way to express love in yet another place, time, experience. Let that be infinite.
Yeah, there's an infinite number of ways to heal and comfort and bless.
Beautiful. Yes.
So maybe that's part of where you see everybody whole.
Yes.
And not with disease.
Even the ones that are over the Middle East with the swords on YouTube ready to cut somebody's head off. You can't leave them out.
It's because they aren't really there.
Uh-huh. And what's driving them to be there?
Body.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts. And we have to continue on that road. And what's driving your thoughts?
Fear. Guilt.
And what? Okay, fear. I'll take fear. And what's driving fear?
Guilt.
Pain. Ego.
I think it's the ego. What
separation.
Separation, probably.
What's driving fear? Just to shorten this, we can go. We'll get around eventually. I'm going to shorten it. Page 217, one of my favorite sentences. Fear is a quote from the Course. Fear is a call for love.
Oh, yeah.
It's a call for love. It's love. Oh, my God. We found love again. As we traced our thoughts, we found love at the bottom of it again. Even with this guy decapitating the guilt and fear and loss, and there was love under it all. Mm-hmm. Compassion sees this instantly. The Holy Spirit's job is to translate these difficult situations and show you the love that's behind absolutely everything. This is why miracle principle number one, there's no order, difficulty, and miracles. Miracle principle number two, miracles don't matter. It's the source that matters. You know the source is love. big L love. The love that empowers everything, including fear. Whoa. Yeah. You know, we just have a couple of minutes. And you know, let's read paragraph 2. Who's up to bat?
On what page?
Oh, great. Bridget, on 660. Oh,
okay, still there.
Salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation, unrelated things, and happenings that make no sense at all. This is one appears. This one appears and disappears in death, that one is doomed to suffering and loss, and no one is exactly as he was an instant previous, nor will he be the same as he is now an instant hence.
In other words, how chaotic is this world where you try to have that child just stay alive long enough to give it a full... Oh, it got killed. There was one thrown in a dumpster a few years ago, and we dealt with that the next day in this meeting. Mm-hmm. Some little girl.
Maggie. You
know, oh, Maggie. You know, come on, right? So that's what this paragraph's talking about.
Who would have trust where so much change is seen, for who is worthy if he be but dust?
Yeah, doesn't Maggie get to have love? Doesn't Maggie get to live? Come on, right? You're going to argue with God. If that's truth, I don't want it, right? Of course, says, wake up! What do you think you're doing? What do you think's really happening here? You think love was denied by Maggie's situation? Is that what you believe? Wow, you know what you need? What does she need? You need a miracle. You need a miracle badly. Let's continue.
Salvation is undoing of all this.
Amen.
For consistency arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking at the cost of keeping guilt, because they chose to let it go instead.
Then we're just going to zip down to paragraph 6. Kenny, you want to read that for us?
No.
Okay. How about just the first sentence?
Are you in valuable?
Vulnerable.
Are you invulnerable?
Invulnerable.
Let's just, you got to make a decision with A Course in Miracles, right? Page 1. Yeah. You know, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Take a beat on that. So, Carol, would you read that paragraph for us, please?
Are you invulnerable? Then the world is harmless in your sight.
There you go, Jeff. Knock yourself out.
Do you forgive? Then is the world forgiving, for you have forgiven it its trespasses, and so it looks on you with eyes that see as yours. Are you a body? So is all the world perceived as treacherous and out to kill.
Ruh-roh.
Are you a spirit deathless and without the promise of corruption and the stain of sin upon you? So the world is seen as stable, fully worthy of your trust, a happy place to rest in for a while, where nothing need be feared but only loved. Who is unwelcome to the kind in heart? And what could hurt the truly innocent?
Perfect. Thank you, Carol. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's pointing it out. Okay, I'll move my marker.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. 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 All right, let's have a circle.
Yeah.
Summer Rose, we stand up and have a circle, say a few nice words, and then we go. Take a big breath. call your body to serve you for once again. And let you decide right now, just decide right now. Are you a body? Then you will die in this little space, suffering for the last few minutes, quite likely. Are you a spirit? Then you will ride on the top of the waves as you watch them rise and fall, just like you would as the creator of it all. Are you a body? You better be careful and you better work hard for your happiness. Are you a spirit? You better enjoy your happiness and the chocolate and everything else right now, because it's unending and there's more to be had by your creation. And when you learn how to share your happiness, it's contagious both ways. For A Course in Miracles teaches us that the only thing worth having is something you can give away. And it grows as you give it away. This is life. This is love. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.